Nervous today, huh? I haven't sang a song in a while, but this song is called Jesus Loves Me, and by Chris Tomlin. So, one more song.
Okay.
Is this working right? Noon?
Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day.
Yes.
We thank you for the many blessings you bestow upon us as individuals, as families. And Lord, especially this church family, Lord, we have right here, we are so blessed. Lord, we thank you for Malcolm, all of our elders, Lord Jesus, that bring your word, Lord, to us. And we especially pray that you be with Reggie today. Fill his heart, Lord Jesus, with your Holy Spirit. And let your message, Lord Jesus, be spoken through him. We just thank you. We praise you in all things. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thanks. All right. So I have like this excited, nervous energy going on in my body right now. This is probably, might get a little emotional because this is a message that God's been working on me. It's an important topic. Diane hit on it a little bit. The song hit on it a little bit. And it's about salvation. It's about a true salvation. And there's a lot of things going on in the world. There's a lot of watering down of the gospel that's going on in the world. And churches are doing it everywhere. And they're doing it for the wrong reason. They want people not to be offended. They don't want people to be challenged too much, because if they're challenged, they're afraid that they're going to leave the building. And if they leave the building, that also affects how much money comes into the building. And there's a problem with that. That should never be the case. And so this message is it's a strong message. It's a message about truth. It's a message about not being deceived. It's a message of self-evaluation. It's not meant to question or condemn anyone. It's between the individual and God. It's all about you and God. Nobody can tell where anybody stands with their faith. Okay? We don't have a symbol on our head when we're saved that says, "I am saved." It just doesn't happen that way. So nobody knows where anybody stands. The only person that knows is yourself and God. And it's important that you look at that and evaluate that. The song Fire and Fury is a great song. I think it went great with this. Because sometimes we get lackluster. We live in a privileged society. And because of our privileged society, we lose focus on God a lot of times. And so it's really important that we keep that fire. We keep that fury. We dig into God more. And I think that was a great song. It's going to go along with the message. The song that Dan sang, Jesus loves us. Right? Now either we believe that or we don't. Right? I mean, that's what it boils down to. So we can say that, and it sounds nice, but if we don't believe it, it does nothing. So we got to really dig and hold on to that. And Diane talked about salvation. So you can see that there's a theme going on here. This is not about once saved, always saved. This message is about salvation and a conversion that happens when you're saved, truly saved. God's been speaking to me for a couple months and waiting for me to bring this message. And with Christmas upon us, celebrating the birth of Christ, the new year coming up, I just feel that God is saying it's a good time for us to evaluate our own lives and get right with God. It's always right to do that. But for some reason, around Christmas time and the new year, it's probably a little bit more strong, should be stronger. We should have a stronger feeling for that. To get renewed, to start over, to start a new day. So this all started when I was working probably a couple months ago. And there was a couple of us and we were reading an obituary. And we said, "Oh, I can't believe so-and-so died." And we were kind of like having a little conversation. And somebody said, "Well, at least they're in a better place." would have just agreed with them and never thought twice about it. But that day was different. I had a strange, uneasy feeling in my spirit. I knew this person. I didn't know him well, but I knew this person that just passed away. And from the way the person lived his life, it was not very godly. Now, I did not know this person enough, his history, his life, to know if he was saved or not. I didn't know if he went to church or didn't go to church. I didn't know where he stood with Jesus. There's no clear signs that our actions, other than our actions, and even that there is no foolproof way of knowing if somebody's saved. And it's not my job or your job to judge if anyone is saved or not. But our goal should be to present information that is the truth about salvation. When we're talking to people, we got to tell them the truth. Truth came up in Malcolm's message for the last couple weeks. It's up to the individual at that point to choose to listen to it or to move on. Right? We present it, they choose. Somebody presents it to us, we choose. That's how it works. We can't force it down anybody's throat. It just doesn't work that way. In my head that day, I started an internal conversation with God. What are you trying to tell me? And why am I having this uneasy feeling about someone I knew but didn't know that much about? I had thoughts of many people over the years. I go to funerals, and every time somebody will say, well, they're in a better place. That night, I went to the Bible and started reading Scripture. And in the Scripture, Matthew 7, 13 through 14, it hit me differently than it had hit me in the past. I'm going to wait until it gets up there a little bit so you can really, really look at it.
Let's say it again.
Yeah, Matthew 7, 13 through 14. I had a lot of feelings going on in my heart at that time. And I wondered if this was only a message for me, but it wasn't. So in it it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. There are many that go in by it that goes to destruction. That kind of hit me. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. I don't know, there's some key words in that. If we believe the Bible like we say we believe the Bible, then this should make us all uneasy reading that. It really should. The word few was embedded in my mind since that day. Few will enter. It doesn't say a third, it doesn't say half, it doesn't say most. Few are going to enter. And I don't know what your definition of few are, but I always thought a few as being 3 out of 100 in my head. I don't know where that came from, it's just something I always thought of. But anyways, no matter which way you look at it, few is a little, very small amount. So if we go to Luke 13:22. This is the other scripture that kind of came to me and he brought me to. I still can't get that thought out of my head. Phew. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When I talk to people, this is not the scripture I see. When I go to funerals, this is not the scriptures I see. When you talk to people, everybody's going to be saved, apparently. Everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's good enough. Everybody worked enough. That's not what the scripture says. We're being lied to if we're saying that. It's not true. Why do we say these things? Is it because it's biblical truth? Doesn't sound that way. Or is it because it makes us and everyone else feel good? Right? That's what it boils down to. We all want to feel good. We all want to see our people up in heaven, don't we?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that our goal? Is to see everybody up in heaven? But only a few are going to make it. And yet we're telling this to people, and we're agreeing with this with people. Nobody wants to hear or to think that the person they love could be in hell. But yet the truth is, the gate is narrow, and few will enter. That hurts, doesn't it? I don't know, it hurts me to think that. They chase me. Sometimes I think at night, and I'm sitting there and I'm just pondering all the people I know and love, and it bothers me to know that they're not saved. That they're not even pursuing God. I invite a lot of people to church. I don't see many of them here. It makes me worry about them more. It makes me want to pray for them more. During this time, God also reminded me of the movie Left Behind. Who read the books? Who watched the movie? A lot of us did, right? Something stuck out at me when I was watching that movie. And it was the pastor. The pastor who was left behind. It was a pastor who was left behind. Why is that? He's out there preaching the Word of God. Preaching the Word of God. He's got it down. He knows the Bible verses. He knows how to talk to people. People listen to him. He saved some people. Why was he left behind? Because he doesn't believe what he's preaching. So there's something to that, isn't there? It's beyond saying words. The thought, if few will enter the kingdom, that must mean that not only people who do not go to church, that are not saved, but also a good percentage of people who do go to church on a regular basis are not saved as well. Now that bothers me with the world. But what bothers me even more is the church people not being saved. That should really hit us. That should really hit us. It's people all around us in churches who talk a good game, who put their hands up, who fall on the floor. They're not saved and they don't believe. Boy, I don't know. God puts these things on me and it's like, wow. Why are you doing this to me? The church as a whole, and I'm talking the church as a whole, I'm talking about the church, God's family. People who go to church, people who call themselves Christians. People who lead other people in God's word. Is the plan for some of this. We've gone away from preaching the truth. Because we want to make people feel good. There are many people who spend a lot of time trying to convince other people where they are spiritually. They're trying to show that they're spiritual people. But they're not. And sometimes they can do it so well that we can even get intimidated by it. I know some people that can... They're freaking me out how much they know the Bible. Right. And at the same time, they may not be saved. There are many people who spend a lot of time trying to convince as many people. These are good people. People who are trying to do God's word, okay? There are many people trying to get people to say the sinner's prayer. And then once they say it, they think they're saved. I mean, you watch at conventions, right? There'll be like thousands of people at conventions, right? And then they'll talk and fire everybody up. And then everybody, and then they'll say, all right, who wants to come up and say the sinner's prayer? And they come up and they say the sinner's prayer. And then you'll hear people say, well, there's 5,000 people saved that night. 5,000 people saved that night. And that happens often. So if that's the case, why is there only a few entering the kingdom? Because that's not true salvation. It's more than that. It's a good start. There's nothing wrong with it. But just because somebody says that doesn't mean that they're saved. There's a lot of reasons why people will say that, but doesn't lead them to salvation. Can anybody think of something? Give me some examples. Anybody have any idea? Dan?
Fear.
Fear, right? Fear. So fear, right? So they're fearful. So they say, well, I gotta say this, right? Because if I say this, then I'll be all set, right? So fear's a huge one, right? Then I'll be all set, right? So you say the prayer and then you go on living your way. And nobody talks to you, nobody guides you, nobody moves into you. And you're just doing your own thing, but you said the prayer, so you must be saved.
Pride.
So pride, I think of an example of pride is, okay, so we say over here, we say, okay, let's have people come up if they want to give up their lives to Jesus, right? And so everybody gets up, except for two people in the back. And everybody comes up. And then those two people in the back... all of a sudden realize that they're the only ones in the back. And so they come up. And they repeat the words. Because they don't want anybody else to say, well, they didn't come up. They're not standing in front of... look, they're all much more holy than I am. We can't have that. I gotta look like I'm just like them. Right? That's pride. Any other examples?
It's kind of the easy way out. All you got to do is go up and say something and you're good to go.
Easy way out. Yeah. Here's one. We actually had this happen in this church when I was thinking about this. It was a day that we did, we had an awesome service and somebody said, well, why don't we have an altar call? So we said, yeah, let's have an altar call. So we have an altar call and nobody gets up, except for one person. One person comes up, he says the sinner's prayer with us, and then we all clap and we're all happy, which is awesome. And then I go and talk to him and I say, hey, congratulations. I'm glad for you. You took a good step today. And he says, I was already saved. I just felt bad that nobody else was coming up in front. Is that, you know, and I don't know if you're saved before or not, but he told me he was, so I'm going with that. But it doesn't matter. He felt guilty because nobody else was coming up. So how many other people who are sitting there, good people, who just have a heart to, like, please people, and nobody's coming up, and then they come up and they say the prayer. But they don't believe what they're saying. There's a lot of different situations with that. Saying the sinner's prayer is only a start. And it's only if you believe what you're saying. Yeah, if we go, yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a scripture in Romans 10, and the key part here is the second part of it, but it says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And the real thing is that people can do it for fear or for all these other things, but there has to be a real belief in your heart that you are a sinner, that the world has sin in it, that you can't work your way to heaven, that you need God to do what you couldn't do for yourself, that you accept that. And if you believe that in your heart, and it's really in your heart, you are saved. And I think that's very, very important, because lots of people can come up and confess with your mouth, and I think this is what you're talking about. You can do an outward kind of thing, but it's not inward. And I think that most people, if they hear a message like what you're saying, they know in their heart, mm-hmm. whether they really did it for what kind of reason.
Right. So. Yeah. And I think too is that we got to be careful of making assumptions. Right? We've got to be careful to make assumptions just because people come to church that they're saved. Just because they preach that they're saved. We got to be careful of those assumptions because sometimes we take that stuff for granted. We just assume that, so we kind of skip over certain things. Well, it's very important that we don't skip over those things. Rachel?
To me, believing your heart brings out the change.
It's coming up. Good point.
If you don't change, if you don't believe and obey. Mm-hmm. Believe and walk in it. Walk in it. Trust God. Walk in it. That belief is nowhere. And even if you really meant it, I don't believe unless you start walking in the Word. Mm-hmm. And that means love your neighbor, forgive. Mm-hmm.
And everything goes with it.
I think those are the ones that think they're saved, but they might not be. And that makes that hurts a lot.
So if we go to Acts 16:31, going on what Malcolm was just saying, we can find many scriptures that talk about this. Romans was one of them. Acts is another one. 16:31. Key word, believe. You can underline it in your books. Star it. Highlight it. Do something with it. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household. So, not only are you affecting yourself, but you're affecting other people in your household. Here's some extra pressure for you. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Jesus.
Reggie, that's a prayer.
That is a prayer.
You say, Lord, you say this. I want this.
Thank you, Rachel. There's an urgency, right?
Yeah.
There's a deadly want for this. John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless if you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. People will say a lot of things about how they're going to get to heaven. But unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. If our friends are not born again, they are not entering the kingdom of God. We are going to their funeral, and we're going to hear those words, and it's going to shake us, because now you've heard it.
Jump over to verse 16, and you know, there it talks about belief again.
Yeah, and it goes there, right, further down, it goes into belief. Can you pull that one up?
John 3:16.
I mean, and everybody knows John 3:16. For God loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes, underlined, starred, highlighted, in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Believe.
Yes.
And mean it. And we can even fool ourselves. That's the strange thing. We can fool ourselves. Because we don't really believe, but we say we believe. And it's not intentional. It happens. And it's scary. That's where the self-evaluation comes in. That's where truth, investigating yourself truthfully. Where do I stand? How do I stand with God? It's so important.
I think that we can see whether we are in the faith or not. You know, because if it's just a form, if you just plunk into form, that's why we have to be really careful about that.
Right.
And it's important that you do look at yourself and pray for the Lord to touch your life and change your life. Because then he does, you know, and you're open to it, and you'll do it.
Yeah, it's true. Matthew 16:25. I'm going through a lot of scripture here, but I think it's important. Because we really got to get this clear. The more information we have in our minds, the more we're not going to be deceived. And there's a lot of deception going on in the world.
Oh, yes.
More and more every day.
Yeah.
Things are getting watered down. And we got to be truthful. So 16:25. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So if you desire to live, there's a problem with that. It's for him. It's not for you. It's for him. That's a hard concept in a world that keeps saying, it's all about me. It's what I want. If it makes you feel good, you do it. That's the world. If it makes you happy, it's got to be right. That's the world. It's not about us. It's about him. And when you get that through your head, then your life changes. And when you get it through your heart, thank you, Dan, head and heart. Psalm 13:5. So when we get to this point, this is a good thing. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Okay, so you believe, but then you got to trust. Right? So we got to get them to trust. We got to get ourselves to trust. And then, Only then can we rejoice in our salvation. So how do we know if we believe or not? Because we can't fool ourselves. How do we know? And that's what Rachel was talking about just a few minutes ago. How do we know? Where's the signs? If we go to Mark 9:23, it will tell us a little bit about this. It's about the heart. Dan nailed it. Where's our heartness? You know? Where's your heart? Who's the primary person in your heart? Who's your home base, right, Steve? Who's your home base?
I know I'm new here. I just want to say, if you know that it's the Holy Spirit drawing you to Him, then you know it's real.
That's right.
All these preachers that say, all you people who are saved now that you've said this prayer, He's got a lot of blood on His hands.
Mm-hmm. He sure does.
He's got to dance for us.
Yeah, exactly. You, the one thing that's the hardest thing about being up in front of people up here, me and Steve and Malcolm, Dan have talked about this, is we're putting a bullseye on our head. We really are. This is not a fun thing. This is a lot of pressure. If we mislead you, we got to answer for that. We're going to be standing in front of Jesus, and He's going to say, why did you say this and mislead my people? That's a lot of pressure. Oh, dear. It makes me nervous. That's why I didn't want to do it for so long. I didn't want to stand up here. And God kept saying, you got to. And I don't want to be sitting back there when Malcolm's preaching and put out my comments. I don't want to do that. I really don't. It may seem like I do, but I don't. Because every time I open my mouth, there's a potential I could screw something up. And so I better be square with God and make sure that that's not happening.
And Reggie?
Yes?
Everybody has to be accountable for what they say out there.
Absolutely.
Not just preachers double.
No.
But
right.
Us, every single person, we will be responsible for every word that comes out of our mouth.
That's right. That's right. So what did I say, Mark? My Mark? Mark 9:23. Jesus said to them, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So, all of a sudden, something changes here. All things become possible. People say to me, well, why is God not answering this? And why is God not answering to that? Some of that comes down to our belief. Do we really believe? Do we trust Him enough to say, with confidence, a prayer that can change something right here? And I just got word from Dave Cantor last night. I texted him and stuff, and he had a heart issue this week. And so people started praying for him. And he went down to Massachusetts, and he had testing done, catheterizations and stuff. And he said to me last night on a text, it said that he has vasospasms in his heart. That means he has no blockages. That means he did not have a heart attack. Do you understand this?
Yes.
And he had vasospasms. Spasms of the vascular system that makes it feel like you have a heart attack. We got to believe what we're praying. And how does that happen? When you're truly saved, and you truly trust, and you truly stand out in faith and say, this is what I believe, and I put my faith in you, Jesus, to change this. That's when miracles happen.
Reggie, I think that's why it's important to go to church. Because I have lived that. I didn't know anything about God. And at 15, someone introduced me to that. Then it was all about knowledge. I was very intellectual, and I knew everything, but I wasn't saved.
Right.
But I... You can ask me anything, and I had
the
answer right off the bat, but my heart wasn't in it.
Mm-hmm.
At 22, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I had two little children, so that's when I really gave my heart. I had to trust Him.
You had to.
But I feel that even through my life, even now, I can't plan too much ahead because I don't know how I'm going to feel tomorrow with different conditions that I have. But I feel that coming to a church where you are growing, because, you know, you're at home and you think you know so much and you did give your life to the Lord and you trust in the Lord, but you're stuck there in a place where you're not growing as a Christian. And I feel that at least I've been coming here now for a while. It's going to be almost a year now. And I feel I've grown so much in this time because it, with everything that you guys go through and that encourage me and that help me and your prayers and your love, that unconditional love and support. I mean, it just, and I think that I was in a place where, yes, you know, I was stuck. I was stuck in a place where I wasn't growing as a Christian, where my heart was in it at that point, and but I wasn't growing. And I think that's very important too. And you were saying about inviting people and not coming to church, and that's one thing that you hear now. Oh, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You don't, but you need to go to church and be with fellow Christians to grow.
And there's something that comes along with that, being deep rooted in Christ. Right? We need deep roots.
And
some of that takes effort. And some of that takes time.
And that's where you have to be in the right place too, because it's not like I wasn't going to church. I was going to church. I
was going to church. Just in the right place.
Exactly.
The next verse that is put up there, that's what's 9:24. The father,
yes,
the boy, cries out, I believe.
So
help my unbelief. And there's places where we come into stagnant areas of our walk, and we're not believing for something. We don't have enough faith for this or for that. We're not allowing the word to, you know, work in our hearts. He cried out, and that's where we get to.
And that's what we got to do.
Part of what the message is that we've got to come to an awareness and always be looking for the Lord to change us. Help, we believe, Lord, help our unbelief.
Absolutely.
You know, we all are in different parts of that.
Right.
Just being brought up in the name it and claim it thing, it's not what we want that we need faith for. It's that asking the Lord for wisdom about what He thinks about the situation. Then pray a prayer. Mm. And if He says heal, pray healing, then
right,
pray healing.
Yeah,
but if He says no, then you have to believe, trust God. It's not your faith that works the miracle.
That's
it's
right.
God in heaven,
right,
that works the
that's
miracle.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Somebody else said, yeah, please.
And I want to say too, but when you really, when you really come to the Lord, I think one of the first things for me to know is that I realized what a sinner I was.
Right.
That's like one of the first things. And I really wanted Him to come into my life. And He fills you with the Holy Spirit, and that's another way you know.
Yeah.
He lives within you, and boy, it makes all the difference.
It makes all the difference.
Yeah.
And with the Holy Spirit in us, as we go on, He'll say here, if we are truly saved, something should be happening, right?
Yes.
If you're truly saved, something should be happening.
Yes.
Ezekiel 36:26. This is really good. This is really, really good right here. I will give you a new heart. So you're saved. You're getting a new heart.
Yes.
And put a new spirit in within you. I will take the heart of a stone out of your flesh. And take the heart of a stone. That's our hearts, before we're saved, out of the flesh. And give you a heart of flesh. Boy, something should be happening. Romans 12:2.
Reggie, I'm sorry again.
Yeah, go ahead.
This thing is so important, because it isn't like there's immediate thing that happens
no.
all the time.
Right.
Sometimes God places a seed, but there's a process that's
involved. Process.
With that new heart developing, you know. So.
Because it's new, right? So if it's new, it's got to be learning, right? Anything that's new goes through a process. It never is spontaneously, right? If somebody gets a leg that was amputated and they get a prosthetic on it, they got to learn how to use it. It's new, but they got to learn how to use it. And there's a process to it. And at first they fall, and then they get back up, and then they will fall again, and then they get back up. And there's people that are doing amazing things with new legs. Playing in the Olympics. It's crazy. They can run, they can hike, they can jump, rolling.
A few weeks back, I had a dream, and it was a thermometer, and it had all the numbers and everything, and it's like the Lord spoke to me. He says, Roland, where in your faith, where do you stand?
Oh, yeah.
And there was an area there, right on the side, I would spit you out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're up in the numbers.
That's right. Scripture, that's true scripture. I never knew you. I will spit you out of my mouth. And then we got the watered down gospel where everybody's okay. You said the word, you're good. God would never spit you out of his mouth. That sounds too harsh.
That's only half of it.
But that ain't true.
Yeah.
Oh. So where are we? Romans? Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good. What is that good? No, I wrote that wrong. What is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he's telling us, listen, this watered down stuff, it's garbage. Don't listen to that. Don't go with the world. The tide is pushing this way. Malcolm had a dream about tides. The tide is pushing this way. Go into it. Against it. Don't fall for that trap. John 3:30. Now this is kind of getting to the heart of the whole thing. This is the process. This is the amputee who's learning how to walk. The more time he puts into it, the better his walk is going to get. He must increase, but I must decrease. And by me decreasing, I should not be the same person I was. And you can go back any time frame you want. I should not be the same person I was yesterday, and I definitely should not be the same person I was 10 years ago. We should be transforming. That's what Rachel said. We should be changing. It's a process. That's what Malcolm said. It's a continual process. It never goes away. Until our last breathing breath, we should be changing. We should be transforming. We should be thinking differently, and we should be acting differently. Sometimes they're grand changes, right? You give up alcohol when you never thought you could. You give up drugs when you never thought you could. You stop sleeping around because you never thought you could. Those are dramatic. But sometimes, and actually most of the time, it's small changes. And as long as there's a change, you're moving in the right direction as far as changing for God. Pursuing God. He will not mislead you.
And you repent.
And you repent. transformation is a hard thing, and I think there's going to be another message on that later on down the road for me. Actually, I think there's going to be a... I want you to really focus on what I said today, because this is like the start of something. I got more than God had told me that He wants me to go off of this, including trust in God, transformation, other things. Somewhere down the road, you're going to hear me talking about these things, but they all come back to salvation. You've got to start with the right thing at the right at the beginning. If you don't start with salvation, you skip salvation, it's all done. If our friends skip salvation, we can bring them to church, we can bring them to everywhere we want, we can bring them to music concerts, and it's not going to amount to much. We got to get that root down. And then we got to stay with it. And we got to keep with it. And we can't give up on it. And we got to keep moving them forward. We can't say, you said the prayer, and then I move on to the next person. Okay, next person said, great. I saved 500 people today. And probably one out of those 500 may possibly be saved.
You have to say, where are they now?
Where are they now, and what am I doing with them? Am I being the disciple I started with? Is somebody else? I mean, you can't do it all, but you got to make sure somebody's in play somewhere. So maybe it's not you, but maybe it's somebody else that is, you know, that's watching over them. And as long as you know that, and they're guiding them, then at least you can feel comfortable with that.
Well, Gene, there's another thing, too. It's not you personally that's saving a person when
no.
you're saying something. God just is in you, and He moves in you, and it's God that does everything.
Does everything.
We have to pull away. We're not part of this.
Right.
He places you there for us.
He must increase.
All about Jesus.
Right? He must increase.
He calls that person.
And He calls that person to you. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no mistakes. There is no mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. There is no mistake with God. He is putting the right person at the right time in front of you, knowing that you have the ability to call on Him and say the right words. So there should, that goes into fear. So we could even get into that. It's crazy. I mean, it can go so many ways, right? The message is this. Don't be fooled. If you're not saved, a true salvation, because I don't want to see anybody go to hell from this church. And if you think you're fooling yourself, then figure out how not to fool yourself. Pray even harder not to fool yourself. Get saved. And for everybody else out there, we need to keep them in line. And we need to speak out the truth and not water down things. We need to be honest with them. Listen, the gate is narrow. Few are going to enter. Are you going to be one of those few? Or are you going to let the world fool you and lose salvation because you were fooled by somebody else? We have to take some time. We have to be truthful with ourselves. We have to evaluate our salvation. Where are we with God? What is God telling me today? We need to wake up with a prayer. God, this day is yours. So if I go through a bunch of baloney, then I'm trusting that I'm going through that baloney for a reason. If I'm hurting, I got to trust that there's a purpose for me being here on this earth right now still. If I'm breathing on this earth, I still have a purpose, no matter what is going on in my life. Because if I did not have a purpose, God would have taken me out. I truly believe that. He leaves people here who have a purpose. And we don't always know what that purpose is, but He is doing it. And if you believe you still have a purpose, it doesn't matter what you're going through, this life will be better. The world is crazy, if you haven't noticed. Things are beyond crazy. It's unbelievable. But we never know what tomorrow's going to bring. And if we are saved, truly saved, we have salvation in our heart. Truly saved. We can rest in that no matter what happens in this world, Jesus is there for us. He is there for us and He is welcoming us into His kingdom. Into His kingdom, the place where there is no more pain, there is no more suffering, and there is true love, agape love, God's love, overwhelming us. I've read books on people who have experiences in heaven, and every single one of them say, you can't even explain it. The peace, the feeling, every single one says the same thing. Is unbelievable. And so with this, I just going to close with a quick prayer. Dear Jesus, I just pray right now with my heart that we can be people who grow in You, who have a true salvation, who have a true foundation to build off of. But I pray that we don't stop there. I pray that we pursue transformation. I pray that we pursue trust. I pray that we get rid of all fear, that we can reach people. Reach people. Many people. And bring them to Your kingdom. I pray that You lift us up during this season to realize that we are celebrating the birth of You. The person who sacrificed so much, who showed humility, who showed love, compassion, but in a truthful way. I pray that the truth comes out more and more in this country. That people become bold and not fearful. I pray it starts right here in this church with us. I pray that we don't put You on the back burner. You're an awesome God and we love You for that. And when we pray,